Did you guys like that? Did you guys like that? Wow, some of them really, wow, they acted so great. I mean, I don't know how they put the passion, the emotions, the bewilderment. I've never seen so many amazing expressions on Easter Sunday before. Let's give them a big hand again, come on. Well, a warm welcome to you to 11:30. And if you are new to 11:30, you know we are really glad to have you here together with us. And we hope that you have a meaningful time this morning. You can see that Easter Sunday, although it's a time of celebration, you know, for Christians and believers, the themes that we cover are not just light or surface themes. We really talk about things of the heart. We talk about things of life. And, you know, when we look at the skit just now, we really saw different areas of life that many of us, I think, go through. And I know that some of those things strike a chord in some of us. Some of us know people like that. Some of us may be people like that ourselves. We're going through so much pressure, you know. And we really hope that as we think on these things, and maybe think about even what God has to say about these things, what would God say into these situations, or what would God say into our hearts, that it will be something of a very special and meaningful time. So if you're here for the first time, we really hope you will stay back after the service and let us at 11:30 get to know you a little bit better. And, you know, as we look at these themes that are being shared, you know, we sometimes feel that we may go through life and make decisions and we feel so alone. You know, when the two characters at the end said, why, you know, why are these things happening to me? And it looks like sometimes we go through journeys in our lives where we go through the ups and downs of life, and we are looking for someone who will truly understand us. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. We go through ups and downs, you know, but will people really come to a point where we can open our hearts to them, where they will understand us? You know, the U.S. newspapers once reported about an article about a Miss Tammy Harris from Virginia. And she had never known her mother. She was given up for adoption when she was young. When she turned 21, she started to look for her biological mother. She wanted to find who her mother was and whether she could have that deep relationship with her. You know, and she began searching, and after a year, she had not succeeded. What she didn't know was that her mother, Joyce Schultz, had also been looking for her daughter and had been looking for her for 20 years, had not been able to find her at all. And according to the story, you know, that appeared in newspapers all over the country, there was one more thing that Tammy, that little girl, didn't know. Her mother was one of her colleagues in the same grocery store that she was working. You know, and they were working together and they never knew it. And one day, Joyce overheard Tammy talking to another co-worker, you know, hey, I'm trying to find my mother. And she thought, you know, hey, I'm trying to find my daughter too, you know. And so they imagine at a water cooler, they're sitting down, they're talking, you know, you're trying to find your daughter. And they tell me more about her. And then as they were talking, they compared birth certificates and suddenly realized, oh my goodness, you are my mom. And when Tammy realized that the colleague that she'd been working with all this while was in fact her mom, she fell into her arms, you know, and she said, we held on to one another for the longest time. It was the best day of my life. You know, sometimes we go through life and we are searching for someone, we're searching for something that has been missing. And you've been trying to find something that gives you that purpose or that meaning in life. But what you may not have realized is that someone, that meaning, that purpose in life has also been searching for you. And He is closer than you think. God has been close to you all the time. And He's waiting for you to make that discovery. The discovery that God is close to you. He wants to open doors in your life, to open opportunities for His purpose. He wants to be the loving Heavenly Father that you've always longed for. And all you have to do is to be able to realize it and fall into His arms. And when you do, it will be the best day of your life. You know, if there's one thing that the Christian faith, I believe, teaches as unique compared to many other faiths, is that the Christian faith says, God has been looking for you. God has been looking for you and wants to have a relationship with you. Christians all over the world, whether it's in Singapore or in the US, you know, or in Egypt, I met a committed Christian the other day, they came from Egypt, you know, or Christians in Pakistan, all through the centuries have always attested, I know Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord, my lover, the one who walks with me. He walks with me, He talks with me along life's narrow way. And on this Easter, you know, we hear of the death of Jesus Christ on Good Friday. You know, we talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I could summarize it, all of it, as summarized as one thing: God reaching out to you to have a relationship. And this morning, I just want to quickly share with us three things about the kind of relationship that God wants to have with you. The first aspect of relationship that God longs to have with us is that God offers us a relationship of intimacy and help. God wants to have a relationship of intimacy and help with you. The Bible tells us these words, and I'm just going to read a passage from Romans chapter 5, and this is what it says. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace into which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How many of you here have watched the Mission Impossible series? Can I see your hands? You watched the Mission Impossible series. Okay, who is the star of Mission Impossible? Tom Cruise, right? Okay. You know, when the movie Vanilla Sky was airing in Singapore, its star also, Tom Cruise, came to Singapore to promote the show. And you know, imagine if you were a Tom Cruise fan, okay? And you went up to see Tom Cruise, you know, when he came to Singapore and airing one of his movies. And you were there, you know, and you are a fan of him. You love him. You're crazy about him. You write him fan letters. And then you get the reply, you know, Tom Cruise says, thank you for your letter, you know, signed, thanks for watching my movie, signed Tom Cruise. You don't know whether is it really Tom Cruise who replied the letter to you, right? I mean, it could be him, it could be his marketing manager, it could be someone, you know, publicity person, and you're not sure whether someone replied on his behalf. And you may have read a lot about Tom Cruise, you know a lot about him, you know, what he believes, what he likes to do from the newspapers, from the tabloids and all that. But what if you had a direct line to Tom Cruise? Let's say you know Tom Cruise's brother, Tom Hanks, okay? Okay, and let's say Tom Hanks, being Tom Cruise's brother, brings you to the crowds at the Vanilla Sky preview, all right? And Tom Hanks waves you past the police line, you know? He lifts up the line for you and you walk past through. He pushes you past the crowds. And as you get nearer, you know, those security people, the serious security people with trench coats and in-ear pieces kind of thing, come up to across you. And then they see Tom Hanks and they say, oh, okay, they let you pass. And Tom Hanks brings you into the dressing room, you know, and he says, I know his schedule. He will be here in a few minutes, so we'll just wait for him. And after a few minutes, lo and behold, Tom Cruise comes in and gives you his famous smile. He stretches out his hand, shakes your hand, and says, any person who is a friend of my brother Tom Hanks is a friend of mine. You know, when it comes to God, sometimes it's similar. We view God from the outside. We know a lot about Him. We read about Him. We hear what people say about Him. But we don't really know Him. The Bible tells us that Jesus died on the cross so that He can be our mediator. He is the one that waves us into God's presence. He is the one that helps us get access to the presence of God. We can enter into that relationship of trust with God, a relationship of intimacy and help. And the Bible tells us that Christ is our introducer. He does all the work. He waves us through the security. He lifts the police line. He brings us right into the room of God. He knows God's schedule. He tells you, you know, when to wait, when to be there, and brings you into the very grace of God. This phrase, into His grace, means that all of God's presence is found in that grace. God offers His presence to you fully out of grace. And in God's presence, there is safety and help. In fact, the Bible puts it this way. Jesus Christ understands our weaknesses, for He faced all the same testings we do, yet He did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. You know, I know someone who went to the old National Library. You know, National Library today is not where it used to be, right? The old National Library actually is quite near here, right? Yeah, it's near YMCA. Do you all remember that? How many remember the old the test of your age? I think not so young. Okay, and you know, so I know someone who was at the old National Library. He was primary six then. He had no watch. His father had dropped him off and said, I'm going to pick you up in 3 hours, you know, would you come back to me in 3 hours' time? And he said, Dad, I've got no watch. So the dad took off his watch. It was a Rolex. You know, he said, hang on to the watch for me. Okay, and use it to keep time. And so when it was time, he left the National Library bus stop. He was walking down the slope of the National Library. two men ran out from behind the bushes, tried to strangle him, grabbed the watch and ran. That 12-year-old boy was stunned, lying on the floor. People were walking around looking, why is this guy lying on the floor? And he was so embarrassed. You know what he did? He got up. He walked 15 minutes all the way to City Hall where his dad was working. He walked 15 minutes there, pressed the lift, went all the way up to his dad's office. The secretary asked, what is the name of the person you'd like to see? He said, I'd like to see this person. He's my father. Would you let me see him? And he said, would you wait in the office? So he waited in the office patiently. And finally, they said, okay, your dad is free to see you now. He got up, went into the inner room, into his father's office. He opened the father's office door, went inside and turned around, closed the door. The moment he closed the door, he turned around and he broke down and he cried. He cried and he cried and he cried. Why do you think that happened? A 12-year-old boy, mugged, lost an expensive Rolex watch, embarrassed, walked 15 minutes, stiff upper lip all the way, go up the lift, talk to people. My dad's name is this, you know, could I see him, please? Stone face all the way, and the moment he enters into his father's office, he breaks down and he cries. Why did that happen? Because it was safe in his father's presence. He felt safe to be in his father's presence. And God's presence is like that. He wants to provide a place of safety, a place where you will no longer be lonely, a place where you could come up to the person and say, God, I feel this way. I feel so lousy. I feel so bad. I feel so good. That whatever it is that we can pour out to the God who made us and knows us. You know, even though I had grown up for many years as a Christian and I wanted to be a pastor even from a young age, there was a part of my heart that I never really dealt with and I didn't quite know about it, wasn't aware about it. You see, I'd grown up with a father that had loved me and he loves me deeply. He provides everything that I need financially, you know, and materially. But when I was much younger, I hardly remembered a time. There was hardly a time when my dad would come up to me and hug me and say that he loved me. He never ever did that. You know, and I always kind of felt, why doesn't my father do that? I wish I had a father that did that. But, you know, I just shoved it aside and just, you know, said, you know, life goes on. We need to be strong and we press on. In the first year of my ministry as a pastor, when I was speaking at a conference, I was attending a conference during that time, and the speaker came. It was an overseas speaker that had come. And that speaker gave an altar call. And altar call, the words spoke so much to my heart. He said, God has sent me halfway around the world to visit Singapore just to tell you that He is your Father. And He loves you. He is your Father and He loves you. He says, my son, you have felt alone so often, but I have always been with you. I have a purpose for your life. And you know, that day I felt God's presence come so strongly upon me. I just broke down and I cried. I cried and I cried. You know, I want to let you know that I'm not really the weepy type. I know people who, touched by the Lord, cry. But I'm not like that. Usually I am reasonably stone-faced. But that day, I broke down. I cried so much. I was so embarrassed. My wife came up with me that day and she was just giving me a tissue pack and then another tissue, and then asked, do I need to get another pack again? You know, I was just bawling my eyes out. Why is it through many things in life that I would be of a stiff upper lip and I'll be so concerned about what people say and think, but there I would bawl my eyes out? Because I felt safe. Because suddenly there was an awareness upon me of the Father that I've longed for all my life. The Father that I've been waiting for. The Father that I could come into the presence of safety and be myself and not try to be strong or proud or be something else. And God's presence is like that. In His presence, we find safety and help. And I wonder if some of us here today, you feel like you have many burdens and it's so hard to even be honest with the people around. Even those closest to you, you don't know if I can be truly authentic. No one understands. I want to tell you there is one who knows. The one who created you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He is your heavenly Father, the Father you have been waiting for all your life. And God says to you, stop trying to earn my grace. Stop trying to be good enough, then you come and find me. Come into my presence. This is what the Bible says about God. God says, I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. That's from John 8. God says, I am not a distant and angry God, but a complete representation of love. That's from 1 John 4. God says, my plan for your future has always been filled with hope. That's Jeremiah 29. And God says, I will never stop doing good to you. That's from Jeremiah 32. And these are not my words. I didn't make them up. They are from the Bible. This is the God of the Bible, a God of love. A second aspect of the relationship that God longs to give to us is that God offers us a relationship of second, third, and fourth chances. God offers us a relationship of second, third, and fourth chances. You know, the Bible tells us these words in Romans 5. It says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through whom our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. You know, when I first got married, I moved into my new flat, and I discovered that my neighbors staying on top of me were really quite unpleasant. There was a boy who was jumping around all the time, making a lot of noise. One day, my brother came to visit me, and while we were talking halfway, there was a sudden boom, boom! You know, and he said, wow, what was that? Sounds like someone dropped a bowling ball or something like that. You know, and I said, you know, that's my neighbor's son. He's jumping around all the time. And I couldn't stand it day after day. I finally went upstairs to confront my neighbor. I asked, could you please tell your boy not to jump around so much? But instead, my neighbor got angry. He accused me of trying to make trouble. He said, well, you people are coming to the neighborhood and you've been living here so long. And then he kind of, wow, God, this whole tirade, you know, of being angry and upset. And he raised his voice and shouted at me. And I got so frustrated because I thought, you know, I just went up to give him a bit of feedback that is really loud, you know. And I got upset, you know. I raised my voice back at him and we started to have that yelling match at each other. And I thought, what a mistake that was. You know, from then on, whenever I see that neighbor downstairs, there was anger, distance in his eyes. Sometimes when we take the lift together, there are only two of us, you know. It's not just quiet, but it's eerily quiet, you know. You know, you watch those horror movies, it's like it's all quiet and in the lift, and then it's like, ding! And then that's where someone pulls out a knife and something happens, you know, that kind of thing. And I just wonder, wow, is he going to do something, you know? I'm just so worried. And, you know, I thought in my heart, I wish we could start over. I wish it's so difficult to live with a neighbor that hates you. I wish someone could just cross the barriers of anger, wipe away all the mistakes, and give a second chance to that relationship. You know, in the skit, we see scenarios where we made mistakes. Putting work before romance, making a mistake on the job. Sometimes the mistakes that we make are even with our family members, our loved ones. We raise our voices, we say things that we can't take back. Sometimes it's a past anger we have, even with our parents, our brothers or our sisters. And we wish we didn't do that. We wish we could start over. We wish that we could have it all over again. And God wishes to start over with us, to have that fresh relationship with us. That is what Jesus did for you and for me. The Bible says that we lived our lives in a quarrel with God. You know, we were enemies of God. We have been reconciled with God. And the word reconciled means making peace, crossing the barriers of anger and mistake, wiping away all the mistakes you've ever made or done, starting again to have a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance in our relationship with God. And some of you today, you may be saying, Pastor, I made so many mistakes. My friendship may be broken because of a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. My family is breaking down because of mistakes upon mistakes I made, hurting words and actions piled up over the years. And I believe God says this to you, give your mistakes to me. I broke every barrier to reach you. I will take your mistakes. I will help you. I will heal your heart. And if you let me come into your family, I will heal your family. You know, a friend of mine a few years back, because he had a difficult family background, and his parents, although his parents loved him much, but somehow he always felt that he could not fit in. And he often got into fights and arguments with his parents. He was trying to find some sort of identity, I think. And he resorted to taking drugs. And he committed a crime while under the influence of drugs. And one day the consequence finally caught up with him. He was charged in court. But just before that, he decided to get his life right. He looked for his friends who had earlier brought him to church, and he began to grow spiritually. I still remember when he was in court, so many times the church would rally around to pray for him, and so many times we would hear, after all the evidence had been submitted, you know, the person would say, the verdict is not yet ready. We will decide at the next time. You know, he had to come back again. The next time. You know, and we prayed for him. We encouraged him. He slowly began to have a changed heart. He was touched by the Lord, and he said, rather than hiding the facts, he decided to tell the police everything. He said, I'm not going to manipulate the things. I'm not going to try to hide. I'm not going to put myself in a good position. I'm going to tell them everything, and I'm going to trust that God will watch over me. And when the verdict came out, the parents were so relieved. He was spared going to jail, but he was given 18 months of probationary sentence. He was given a tag to wear for authorities to track him. We often prayed for him. The officers would see us ministering to him and allow him to attend church, attend cell group. And once they even allowed him to go to JB for church camp while on tag, you know, and everything. You know, and my friend had a sense, God is giving me a chance to live my life right again, to put my past behind, to follow him. And his mother testified, by God's divine hand, he's huge size, super big, full of tattoos, bodybuilder, muscular, but he's playing guitar, leading the worship team, you know, serving in worship. He started to show consistency in church attendance. His relationship with his parents and siblings improved. And his mother, in a testimony, once said, they saw the gentler side, the sweet side of the son that they had not seen for so long. And there was joy, there was laughter in the family. God gave him a second chance, a third chance, so that he could respond to God. And God wants you to come into a relationship where you know that your past has been forgiven. Every wrong you've committed is forgiven because of what Jesus has done. He wants to give you a second and third or fourth chance again to have a fresh start. In fact, the Bible puts it this way. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's mercies comes over you every morning. You know, when my daughter was born, every morning for the first 6-7 years, of her life, I would wake my daughter up, you know, I would give her a kiss and carry her off from her bed, you know, and I would tell her, wake up, daddy loves you, daddy is here, time to start your day, you know, and she says, oh, daddy, carry me out of bed, you know, at 3 years old, it's okay, 4 years old, it's okay, 5-6 years old, okay, my she's getting heavier, my back must go for TCM massage already, you know. But I still carry her. Because, you know, I want her to know, wow, your father wakes you up today and says, let's start the day together. God wakes you up as his son and daughter because his love and his compassions are new every morning. And because of this reconciliation, we rejoice in God. A right relationship with God is one that expresses itself in joy. Every morning, believers should wake up with the Lord, holding them, you know, and they should walk with a spring in their step, a light in their eyes, because they have a new day and a new chance with God. Now, all this seems too good to be true until we understand what truly happened on Good Friday and Easter. The verses that, you know, tell us of the greatest story ever told of Good Friday and Easter are so powerful. When the newspapers first reported that NASA planned to put a new space telescope to replace the Hubble telescope, that telescope would cost $20 billion to put it into space. But with the telescope, they hope to see farther across the galaxy, maybe across the entire universe, possibly. How many light years does the universe span? You know, the nearest star, we are told, from us is one light year away. One light year. One light year is a measurement of distance. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. In 1 second, we travel 186,000 miles. Then you travel for 1 second, you sustain the speed for 1 minute. And you sustain the speed, you know, for 1 hour. 1 hour at 186,000 miles per second. And then you sustain the speed for 1 day, for 1 week, for 1 month, traveling 1 month at 186,000 miles per second, you know. And for 1 year, that is one light year. That's how far the nearest star is from us. Now, to see across the universe spans millions of stars, millions of light years. The universe spans millions of stars, and yet God says, I have the universe in my hands. That's how big God is. The Bible says, how good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is the Lord, mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. This great and awesome God, the God of wonders beyond our galaxy, we can't even imagine one light year. He handles millions of light years. He took on the form of a humble man, and He died for you and for me to become a gift of righteousness. Our text tells us these words today. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, a pastor friend of mine, when he was working in Barker Road Methodist Church, there one of the members is the late Dr. Tay Eng Soon. And if some of you who remember him, was a senior member of parliament, Minister of Education for Singapore. And my pastor friend would say sometimes he would come by when the school program's over and the Sunday school is over, he would see Dr. Tay Eng Soon stack chairs and keep the chairs after the Sunday school program. This cabinet minister did not think that this was beneath him. This cabinet minister is so used to a VIP position. He's so used to people hosting him around, rolling out the red carpet, following him to view things. And then in Sunday school, we're all alone, nobody's looking. He would quietly stack chairs. A great politician, a minister of education, stacking chairs after Sunday school is something humbling, but only gives you a hint of what Jesus Christ did. The Son of God, holding light years and galaxies in His hands, limits Himself into a human form. Wow! Parks Himself into a small nation and suffers the politics and the injustice of that small nation and be willing to be beaten up, crucified for you and for me to become God's gift of righteousness for us. That's why verse 8 says, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, we were sinners. We were not good people. We were not trying to be friends of God. Maybe we didn't even know God. But Christ took our sin on us and took it upon Himself. He took the heat that was meant for us while He owed us nothing. So, what mistakes have you made in your life? George Truett, a longtime pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, once went hunting with his friend, the sheriff of Dallas County. During the trip, it was a hunting trip, Truett accidentally shot and killed his friend. It was a costly and horrible mistake. He was so depressed. He was destroyed emotionally. He said, I don't want to serve God. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to talk to God. I'm not good enough. I made such a terrible mistake. Are you in a situation where you're saying similar things? I'm not good enough. I made something terrible. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to talk to God. George Truett cried, but bit by bit, God's forgiveness washed over him, affirmed him, and healed him. The most grievous mistakes in our life should not allow us to be cast away, unused for God's purposes. And Dr. Truett later became one of the greatest preachers and pastors in Christian history when the Lord turned him around. And that theme runs through the Bible again and again. How God uses us despite our failures and mistakes and raises us up to be someone new in Christ. So what mistakes have you made? Have you manipulated circumstances for your own ends, tried to cover it up, and you end up hurting people? There was once a man who did that. He was so rich and powerful, he abused his power, but he confessed his mistake. He came back to God, and God forgave him and raised him to be one of the greatest leaders. His name was King David of the Bible. Have you ever lost your temper, ever hurt someone grievously, maybe even to death? There was once a man who did that. Out of anger, frustration, he accidentally killed someone. But he regretted it, God healed him, and God raised him up to be one of the greatest rulers. His name was Moses, the prophet. God forgives. God washes clean. And when the blood of Christ washes clean, nothing can make you unclean. Because it is God that washes you. Worship team, I invite you to take position. So Jesus came with all the power and person of God. But he came and he became a man. And he was beaten to death for you and for me to pay the price of our mistakes. You know, a story was told of a Spanish father and his teenage son. The relationship between this father and son became strained and eventually shattered. And when the rebellious son, whose name was Paco, a common Spanish name, ran away from home, his father began a long and arduous search for Paco. Could not find him. As a last resort, the exhausted father placed an ad in a Madrid newspaper, hoping that his son would see the ad and respond to it and try to look for the father. And the ad read this way: "Dear Paco, please meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. All is forgiven. Love, your father." The next day at noon, in front of the newspaper office, there were 800 men named Paco, all seeking forgiveness from their fathers. Are you like Paco today? Do you need forgiveness from God? Mistakes that you have made in your family, in your relationships, things maybe in secret that no one knows, but you live in its shame. Would you come to God today and have that wiped clean? Wiped clean by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. God says through the Bible, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God who brought us back to Him through Christ. All this makes possible the gift of relationship that God wants to give to you and to me today. Come, let's pray. God, what a precious day this is. A day in history that really changed so many things and really changed the world. A day that marks the gift of your precious Son. And through Him, the gift of relationship that you offer to us, that you say to us, come home. Come home to your Father. I have always been your Father. My hand has always been upon you. And today I just sense that God pours forth His Holy Spirit upon us. His presence comes and fills us even right now. And on this day when He had sacrificed His Son and see His Son rise again from the dead. Oh, the Lord wants to give you so many things. He will give you everything that you need to walk in the purposes of God. Would you open your heart to the Lord today? Come, let's put our things down. Let's stand to our feet. And I just invite the worship team to lead us.